Hello and welcome to the Mike Davis Psychic Medium Show on MikeSpirit.fm. In today's show, you'll be listening to the world-renowned, international award-winning psychic medium, Mike Davis, the People's Psychic, as he connects callers with their loved ones in the spirit world. To ask Mike to contact the spirit world for you, call now on 760-283-4611. That's 760-283-4611. Or you can connect on Skype for free by pressing the Skype button. Remember, Mike is your Celtic connection to your loved ones in the spirit world.
Oh, Hi, and hello, and welcome to the Mike Davis Show. No, you don't have to adjust your settings, and there's nothing wrong with Mike's voice. It's me, Margaret Challenger, and I'm standing in for Mike this evening, or wherever you live this morning or this afternoon. So, you're asking, where is he? Well, Mike is demonstrating in a place called Milford Haven, which is on the west coast of our beautiful Wales. He's demonstrating tonight for 2 hours, and it's a charity event. It's in aid of children with cancer in Wales called LATCH. LATCH is a voluntary organisation which is supporting the special requirements of the Children's Oncology Centre, based at the Children's Hospital for Wales. So we wish you, Mike, all the best with this tonight. A great cause, wouldn't you agree? Mike's an awesome guy. He's demonstrating last night. Tonight he's doing this two-hour charity dem. And again tomorrow. Do you know, he's so hyper. I think he's plugged into the mains sometimes. Now then, if you'd like to call in for your reading, the numbers to call are, if you're in the USA, 760-283-4611. And of course, if you're outside the USA, put 001 before that. So it's 001-760-283-4611. Now, as you're probably aware, all of tonight's readings will be posted as usual on Mike's archives tomorrow. So if you're lucky enough to have a reading, don't forget to check it out, because there's so much that you'll miss or forget. I suppose at this point I should tell you just a little bit about myself. What do I say? I've been talking with the spirit world since I was 2, which is a fairly long time now. I've been an active spiritualist for 40 years within the movement. Spiritualism to me is a way of life. It's a religion, a philosophy, a science, and I'm proud to be part of the movement. There are many reasons why people turn to mediums. For comfort, in bereavement, development of their own spirituality, guidance in daily lives, healing, and of course the phenomena that spiritualism can bring. But at the end of the day, no one can interfere or override our free will. And free will, we all have that, don't we? We can make things happen. We can make life easier for ourselves or harder for ourselves. I've been very privileged to have worked in 5 different countries now with my spiritualism and bringing comfort to people who have lost children and all kinds. It's amazing what these energies, these what we call dead people, yeah, they return and they want us to know that they're safe and sound and happy, to put a smile back on our faces, I suppose. And now then, if you're ready to call in, I think I'm ready to take a first call. Now, I think our first caller here tonight is Hannah. Hi, Hannah, you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Hello, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank
you.
Hi,
all right.
Cool.
That's okay. It's a pleasure. Nice to speak to you. Where are you calling from, Hannah?
I'm calling from Europe. I'm calling from Holland.
From Holland. Oh, excellent. I met some lovely people from Holland about 2 years ago. Really, really lovely people. And amazing, your English. It's phenomenal. It makes us all ashamed.
I was born in South Africa.
Yeah,
I'm half Dutch.
right. Okay. All right. Well, Hannah, there's a gentleman joining you. As soon as you spoke, a very strong-willed gentleman came along and stood next to me. And I feel quite fatherly with this gentleman. Can you understand that?
Yeah, I can.
He's very, very masculine man. I'd say he's about 5'8", 5'9", not a short gentleman. And he's talking about you, and your interest has been growing with regards to spiritualism and other aspects of spiritualism. Is that right?
It has, yes.
Yes, yes. He's smiling because he wouldn't have shown much interest in spiritualism, would he, when he was here in the physical body?
Well, I'm not exactly sure, because when you said muscular, I'm thinking only of my grandfathers, but none of them were really muscular.
This gentleman is dark hair. He's got dark hair, cropped quite short, and he's quite a muscular man.
Yeah, it doesn't ring a bell at this point, no.
Right. Can you understand what he's saying to you about...
Yes, what he says, yes.
Yeah? That's okay. We'll go for that at the moment then, until he proves who he is a bit more. Oh, there's a lady coming in here now for you.
Okay.
She's telling me that she passed, but you weren't around at the time. So you must have been away from her. Yeah? You understand that, don't you? Can understand the lady
not at this moment, when
you weren't around. So you might have been in another country...
Yes, I think then I know. I think so, yes.
Yeah? Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're telling me that your question tonight is about your own personal progress at the moment.
It's about work, yes.
Yeah, your own personal progress. That's right. Mm-hmm. you've got a grandmother this past, haven't you?
Yes.
Yes, and this is the lady who's telling me that you weren't around her when she died.
Yes.
Right, okay, let's see what she's got to say to you then. Oh, right, so there was a missed opportunity there for you at some time. I would say a year, 18 months ago, you had a chance of changing your work situation?
Yeah, I don't know, that's the thing. I don't know even if I've missed things.
Pardon?
Yeah, I don't know exactly what she's talking about now.
About a year to 18 months ago, you missed an opportunity to change your job. If you can go back a year to 18 months. There was an opportunity for you to change your work.
No, I can't think of anything. Sorry.
Can't think of it. Okay, let's see. Mm-hmm. Right, you've been wanting to change your work situation for a while, haven't you?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and she's going back, she's telling me a year to 18 months ago, this is when all this started. Do you understand what I'm saying, or is the terminology difficult for you to understand?
No, I understand, I can't put my finger on anything, because...
She's just saying that this feeling of wanting to change a job has been with you for the last 18 months.
Well, feeling of changing has been for the last year. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's right. That's okay. There you go on now then. And she's saying that you did miss an opportunity to go somewhere else to work, but it would have been out of the country that you're living in. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, no, I did live in another country, in New Zealand, but I mean, I was still studying, and then I came back to Holland, and then I looked for work, and I got work.
Yeah.
I didn't get anything offered.
Didn't somebody suggest that, she's saying that somebody suggested that there was work in another country, but you didn't take up the offer. Sometimes
maybe
somebody
this is something that still will come. I don't know.
No. It's not to come. It's something that you were offered during the time. It might have been, you see, during a conversation with somebody else, you know, that they mentioned, yeah, guess what, I'm going to work in, you know, so-and-so place. Why don't you come? It was more like that kind of situation. Right, now then.
Okay.
Where you are at the moment, where you work at the moment...
Mm-hmm.
You don't find as if there's much progression for you. Not so much promotion there.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Yeah, she's it's not me, it's your nan. she's getting very agitated with because she you can't place the job prospects that were offered before, but never mind. But she's saying, you feel as if there's people in your way there, don't you, in work, stopping you. Can you understand?
It's not so much people. It's just, I don't really like what I'm doing. Yeah.
It's like the system. It's as if the system is blocking you.
Mm. Yes, it's just not me. I don't really like what I'm doing.
But then she's showing me what we. I don't know what it's like in Holland, but we have jobs advertised in a newspaper here, and just for me to understand, she's showing me this newspaper, and she's pointing at jobs in the newspaper, and she said, "You're not doing that. You're not looking wide scale, are you, for other employment?"
I was looking, but I stopped looking because I sent out a lot of CVs and I got a lot of rejections because I'm really specific on what I want to do.
That's right. She's pointing at, but she's making me laugh because she's pointing at this newspaper and she's saying, she's not looking. And it's almost to say, how can you get something that you're not looking for? Right. In the month of March that's just gone, there must have been a disappointment where, again, maybe it was a CV coming back, but March brought you a disappointment with a job situation again, didn't it? A job application, maybe, a refusal.
Yes,
Yeah. You see how close she is to you? And we think that they're dead and gone, don't we? And yet they follow our progress daily. There's nothing on the horizon for you this year. She's saying that it's a big disappointment for you. She knows that. But there's nothing on the horizon. But apparently, there have been other issues in your life besides work that you've had to sort out, hasn't there?
There has been.
Yeah, and as you're talking about relationship issues as well.
Well, I've been single for almost 2 years, but last year was the big year of trying to let go.
Which
has been a good job.
Within the year 18 months that she spoke about, there's been a lot happening. And do you remember now during that time in that relationship where maybe you felt as if you wouldn't have wanted to go anywhere else? You wouldn't have wanted to go and leave the country that you were living in because you had a partner at the time?
No, I didn't want to live there. I didn't want to be in the relationship anymore.
Yeah, but when it came to work, I'm going to ask her because she keeps coming back to the fact that you had an opportunity a while back. But she's talking about the relationship issue here now, and she's quite happy that relationship has gone by the way. She said it was nothing like more than a thorn in your side, really.
Yeah.
And it was a mistake that you got together because I don't know, I feel as if it was you sort of knew this person and then you didn't and then you knew him again.
Well, we broke up. I see what you mean. We broke up 3 times in about 3 years. So together and then not, and then together.
This is what she's making me feel, as if I'm with him, I'm not with him, and I knew him, then I knew him again. And she's saying, not your type at all, academically either, was he?
Well, no, he was very clever. He was just not very mature. It's funny to say that. Yeah, he was not, I think, spiritually and emotionally not on the same level. But he had his degrees and he was a very intellectual person. But
I wonder That's right. You can have as many degrees as you like, can't you? But when it comes to on your level intellectually, as you say, maybe he was childish, and your grandmother believes that you weren't sort of suited, weren't compatible, as she's saying.
Yeah, I did learn a lot from him, but no, wasn't compatible.
Well, that's one thing. You learned never to go back to that again, yeah?
Yes.
Hannah, there is not much change for you this side of Christmas, I'm afraid. But your grandmother is quite pleased that you've sort of decided within yourself now to make your life yours rather than try and fit in with somebody else.
Yeah,
and the relationship that that you're looking for, but you're having, you're ticking boxes now, aren't you? You've got this list, you know, tall, dark, handsome, whatever, I'm joking, but you've got this list of what you expect from someone, a partner. And she's saying that that will come around about the May of next year.
Okay. Does she see me finding a job? I think that's the most important thing for me.
Not this year. Okay, there's nothing for you this year. But when opportunities come up, they will be by word of mouth. You won't have you won't have to apply for them. It will be somebody that you know that will arrange an interview for you.
May I ask you one last thing?
Which you can do.
Which is related. I'm always wondering, I mean, I'm always trying to find my purpose. And, you know, I always ask for why I'm here. And I'm just always afraid that this, like, this opportunity that I've missed, maybe. Does she think I'm still on the right path? Because I really wanted to change my life and really help people. I want to go into non-profit.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that...
The purpose of everyone, not just you, me, everyone, is to develop our soul growth individually. How we do that, it depends on us as an individual, personal responsibility. We'll never know, Hannah, will we, as we go through life, what exactly it is we feel we know the purpose of being here is for. But we can only do our best, and it's this gut feeling that makes us know I've done good today or I haven't done good today. You are quite inclined to want to help people, and your heart is bigger than perhaps it should be at times, to giving nature, you know. But you must also learn to protect yourself, because our duty, first duty, is to ourselves always. If we are not strong, we can't blame someone else for not making us feel that way. If we're unhappy, we must change the situation and be happy. You must always remember as well that we can't be responsible for the way other people feel or act. But we can dismiss ourselves from that situation if it interferes with ourselves. You know, if somebody's making you unhappy and you can't work it out, you know, it's a time to leave, isn't it? It's a time to shake hands and say, well, we tried it and it's over, which is what you've done. Moving on from that, then, what do we know what's around the corner? But every experience is for a reason. With your experience in your last relationship, it was to make you grow, make you feel, look at life differently. It was to make your heart stronger so that you wouldn't be so quite rushed in there, you know, fools rush in where angels fear to tread. I think sometimes if someone shows you a kindness, you might read a bit more into that, you know? So I think this last relationship will make you feel more careful about what you do in the future where relationships are concerned. And where your job is concerned, I don't know what it is you do, I don't want to know, but it's there's some quite articulate, some of the work that you have to do, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, because your grandmother is just saying, oh, it's delicate as well. There are some delicate issues around the work that you do, but you definitely won't hear anything this year, but by next year you will. And as they say, it'll be by word of mouth. So I hope that helped you, Hannah.
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
That's no problem. Yes. It's nice to speak to you. You've got a lovely voice.
Thank you.
There's no problem. I'll speak to you again, no doubt.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, you
thank
take
you
care
so
now.
Much for help. You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, I hope my accent's not getting in the way of any interpretation here. As you guessed, it's a broad Welsh accent, isn't it? Very proud of my heritage. I bet you are as well, aren't you? We're all proud of where we are and where we've come from. It's where we're going is the point, though, isn't it? Everybody wants to know that. Where are we going? I don't know. Sometimes I'd like to know, and sometimes I think, would I want to know? I think we have destiny in our own hands, you know. we can mould that destiny. And of course, we all can ask for help from the higher realms and the spiritual. They're always there waiting to help us. And as I said, they can't interfere or change, but they can help. They can say, don't put your finger in the fire, Margaret. You only get burned. But do we listen? Well, I think we've got a Barbara wanted to speak to me now. Hi, Barbara. Are you there?
Hi. Hello.
Hello. Good. Where are you calling from?
Arizona in the U.S.
Arizona. And I've got a friend in Arizona. Her mum and my mum were friends.
Oh.
They've both passed to the spirit world now. But we keep in touch. Yeah, never met.
It's very warm.
Is it? She's always telling me about her beautiful garden and the flowers that grow there. Quite enviable. Because in rain, we get the odd day of summer, you know, in Wales.
we either have hot or we have cold. So we don't have the seasons.
Oh, right. And my granddaughter's in the USA at the moment. She's in Washington. She's only 10. She's gone up there with a gym club.
Oh, wow.
Going to America at 10 years of age. My goodness me. There we are. So it's lovely to speak to you, Barbara. How can I help you?
I want to see what you pick up with me. I have a lot of different things going on and... you know, things that I'm going to be facing soon. And my father passed about 15 years ago. And I actually live in his home. He and my mother's home. My mother's still alive. But I just wanted to see what you pick up because I'm going through a lot right now.
Yeah, sure. And okay, let's see what they got to say to you. First of all, I usually like to prove that who it is speaking to you. So I asked them to sort of identify themselves so that you can say, yes, that's who, I recognize that. And as you mentioned, father, I'm being shown a photograph of a gentleman. Can you understand a photograph of your dad being out, please, where it can be seen? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's at an angle. It's not facing, it's not square. It's at an angle, maybe at the corner of where it stands. You know, it seems to be on the corner.
Yeah, I'm looking right at it, and it's catty corner. I have a curial.
There we are. Oh,
I have a curial in my room, of my house, with everything of his, and
what
it's at an angle.
right. Okay. Well, so he's got it right then. Excellent. Let's see what he's got to say to you. You've got a son as well, Barbara.
Yes, he's named after my father.
Right. Okay. That's lovely evidence, isn't it? I like it when they do things like that. Okay. He's talking about your son at the moment. And I've got a son, and I always used to say, you know, between the ages of sort of like 18 and 25, he used to donate his brain Monday to Friday. Now he's quite successful, so I can't say that about him anymore. You know where I'm coming from, don't you, with these boys? But your dad is saying that your son, there was a little bit of a difficult time with him for whatever reason at some point after your father died.
My son was born after.
No,
my
there
son,
was a little. There
was
a little
was not
difficult.
Supposed to be here.
Right. So that was
he's a miracle baby.
Right, and he, that was a difficulty that was surrounding him. Okay. Is he 14 now?
He's 7.
7. Do you have a 14-year-old?
I have a daughter. He and my daughter are 13 years apart. I have an older daughter.
Right. Okay. Fine.
But he came
now then.
14 years. He came 13 years, almost 14 years after her.
Right, okay, because he just gave me 14. As you mentioned, your son, he gave me the figure 14. Right, let's see what he's got to say to you now. Right, first of all, he's saying that there have been issues regarding money around you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There have been complications as well regarding that money issue. There's been somebody around you, Barbara, that's not been very nice to you, isn't there? One person in particular. It's almost as if they present stumbling blocks all the time.
Yeah, it was a relationship that I had for a long time.
Yeah. It's like as if I get over this problem and I've got another problem, you know? So
right.
Your dad's mentioning that as well. Right. Have you tried to sell your house on two occasions?
No, because this is he and my mother's home.
Yeah. And has there
this
been
won't
discussions,
go anywhere.
has there been discussions on two occasions about moving from there?
Yes.
Right, because he just said twice, it's like as if there's been discussions regarding
I moved twice before I got to this house.
Right, okay. But you're concerned about the house after your mum passes, aren't you? Should anything happen to your mum, you get concerns about the house, don't you?
Yeah, because I would have to buy my family out.
Yeah. He's saying she has concerns. Anything happened to mom and she's got concerns there. Do you know, your dad's going to try and do everything he can about that issue, about the house. He'll try and make things as easy as he can for you. Right. You've enjoyed traveling, haven't you?
Yeah, I just don't get to do too much of it.
Yeah. And at the moment, you've got a book on the go. He's talking about you reading some book.
I started a blog.
Yeah. Right. Is that, that's not a
and
book.
And I've thought about writing a book.
Right, that's right. Because when he said blog, he said, that's not a book. I said, no, it's not, is it? Because I'm listening to you and talking to him. I know. It's mad, isn't it? Right. He's bringing an awful lot of love here for you, and he's putting his arm around your shoulder and giving you that squeeze, you know, that reassurance. I feel like I just want to hold you, as if you miss your dad, you know. You talk to him quite a lot, don't you?
Yeah, I was daddy's girl.
Yeah.
And he made me feel like I was
pardon?
A million bucks.
Oh, that's wonderful. I love
that.
I love
that
my dad as well. Yeah.
As soon as I walked in a room, it was like, this is my daughter. You know, it was.
Wow.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a very incredible man.
He's doing that now. He's sort of holding you and putting his arm around your shoulder. And as you say, that pride is there. But he's also making it, giving it as reassurance. You've been quite unhappy, saying. There have been times in your life that he's witnessed you being quite unhappy.
Right.
And it's a miserable feeling, you know, that you've had. It's not belonging, that kind of feeling.
I was diagnosed with a brain tumor 2 weeks ago.
Right. Right,
this is
right,
the
right.
The second brain tumor that I've had in
okay,
11 years.
Right. And, hang on a second. He's got loads to say about that. He said the first one you battled against, didn't you? So you must have put up a real big fight. This one, you're taking much more in your stride.
I'm trying.
Yeah. And because you're taking it in your stride, the healing energies are being able to be penetrated much easier. Obviously, if we're tense and uptight, you know, spirit can't get through, can they? But at the moment, who's John, Barbara, this died?
My brother. I have a brother, Johnny.
Right, because your dad just mentioned John. That tumor, isn't it being reduced? Because I feel as if it's shrinking.
It's smaller than the first one.
Yeah.
This is a micro, and the other one was a macro.
Oh, right. I'm learning something now.
It's applying pressure to my optic nerve.
Yeah. Is that the left side?
Yeah, I've been having numbness and pain in my left, my left side.
Yeah, and I've got my hand on my eyebrow, on my left eyebrow at the moment, and I just see as if I want to press there on the temple of the left-hand side of my face, you know, the temple. That's what he's doing to me. So that must be where, around that area, you must be having the problem.
Yeah, it's in the stem of my brain, which is lodged behind my eyes.
Ah, right. Okay, so he's got that right. Now then, you believe in spiritual healing, don't you, he's telling me?
Yes.
Yeah? Because as we speak, he's got purple rays being projected from the spirit world through that temple. And it's shrinking, this tumor. He's asking you to have faith in the help that he is asking for. So
yes,
you know
I
that
do.
you can have that reassurance that your father is helping you. And he's smiling because when you were diagnosed this second tumor, you spoke to him straight away, didn't you? You said to him, "Oh, Dad."
Yeah, I came and talked to him.
Yeah, he said she came straight to me, and that was the best thing to do. You know, the healing energy, I mean, I can send you absent healing as well, and we can
Thank
ask
you.
Everybody who's listening to do the same, to send Barbara in Arizona an absent healing for this tumor, concentrating on the left side of the temple. And it does work. You can feel that. But as I say, your dad is showing me this purple, it's almost like a laser that's coming down and zooming in. Like if you can imagine it, like with electricity going through there and performing this healing process.
Well, you know, the way that it's removed through my nose with some kind of an object.
Right. Sounds gross, doesn't it? But whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's better than cutting me. So, that's how they took it out. It's called transsphenoidal.
Yeah. Wow, that's wonderful. You know, go on.
I've had a series in that five ways where I've been unhappy and miserable and that kind of thing, is like a bad relationship. And recently, probably like 3 months ago, I met a really great guy. And I'm just curious what you see with that.
With this new guy?
Yeah, he's kind of nervous with this whole thing because he's never met anyone that's going through something, that's been through this.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah, it's a big thing, isn't it, to try and understand. I mean,
right.
First of all, he's got to understand how you can cope with it, and then he's got to understand himself how he's coping with you coping.
Right.
Let's see what your dad's got to say about that. Right. I got this dreaded cold that's going around Wales at the minute.
I'm sorry.
Right. This gentleman is quiet in comparison to the other person that you knew.
Absolutely.
He also likes the outside, the garden, maybe. He likes the outside to walk, you know.
He has a motorcycle.
Like,
he has a Harley, so
yeah.
He likes to ride.
Yeah, he likes the outside, the feeling of freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had people, obviously, passed in his life. And he doesn't like change, does he? He doesn't like people dying, for instance.
He doesn't
He doesn't like people dying. You know when family die?
Right.
He doesn't like that, does he? He likes people to stay forever. Has he mentioned his grandmother that has passed?
No.
To you? Ask him about her, because she's an amazing lady. And she is here, and she's telling me that his heart is in the right place. So he says what he feels. And he means what he feels, yeah?
Yeah.
He's the type of guy that when he says something, he means it. There's no two ways of looking at anything.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. The person that was in your life, who is not now, was quite deceitful with words, wasn't he?
Extremely.
Yeah. So you've got such a different comparisons altogether, different guy altogether.
Absolutely.
Barbara, is a lovely feeling with him, you know. He seems gentle, quiet, but at the same time in control of himself.
Yes.
He's what I would call a provider. He likes to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, he's just been kind of distant this week since he saw everything out. He's been kind of distant. I mean, he still checks on me, that kind of thing, but he's been a little distant.
What your grandmother is saying here is a bit of a shock treatment, isn't it? You know, he's had to deal with this in his way. And I think because he's such an emotional person, the reason that you haven't seen him is because he's hiding his feelings. You know, it wouldn't be very well for him to turn up on your door and break down into tears, would it? He's supposed to be the strong one for you.
Right.
So what
Absolutely.
She means is he's hiding his feelings at the moment, coming to terms with the way he feels with regards to your illness. So give him another 2 weeks. And he'll probably be quite strong about the situation then. Oh, by the way, did
Tell
you know?
Tell Grandma to get in his head and push him a little bit.
Yeah, why not? Hey, you talk to her. Tell her what you want. Say, can help me. Get him here.
Help me, Grandma.
she's also saying, Barbara, she's telling me that he's been reading up on your condition.
Wow.
So he's either taken to the internet or some literature, but he's been reading about it. It's all a way of him coping, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
And I understand that because he told me, he said, it sounds like you have everything in control up to this point. He said, but just know that me, your mom, and your family will be here for you to help you get through the rest when you're done, you know what I mean, after the surgery. And I know he meant that. And he's just different. He's different from the time that I saw him. There was something about him that just drew me to him.
He's got piercing, lovely piercing eyes, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah,
beautiful
something
eyes.
About his eyes. Yeah, your grandmother just said, hey, she likes the men, your grandmother, didn't she? She said he's got gorgeous eyes.
He does. He has hazel-like, beautiful eyes.
She loves his eyes. And his hands, I don't know, it's his right hand. Is there some kind of disfigurement on a nail did he have an accident of a finger on the right hand once?
I don't know. I haven't really noticed. I know he's left-handed.
Right. But I got something like a damaged forefinger on my right hand. So
I'll check
that out when you see him next, Barbara, right?
Okay.
Hey, look.
All right.
All the best with this. Everybody that's listening now is sending you healing. It's sent with love. Obviously, love penetrates every barrier. And don't worry too much about your newfound friend. Let him come to terms with things first. Let him work
but
it out in his
around.
Way.
He's not going anywhere.
He's a precious guy, isn't he?
Yeah, so he'll hang around. He's not going to, like, leave me.
I shouldn't think so. I think he's too much of a gentleman to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Does my dad approve of him?
He's smiling and nodding in a positive way, yeah. He's smiling and just nodding positively. your father must have chased away any sort of boys that showed an interest in you, didn't he?
When I was younger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's, you know, go
he's
away.
He's very protective.
Yeah, because when
he was a police officer.
Ah, right, okay, so he'd know everything. But when you said, does my father like him, he nodded positively, but at the same time, he sort of tapped, you know, like that, as if to say, you know, I would disapprove of everyone. So he's laughing, yeah?
Like no it's one's nice. Ever good enough for his daughter.
That's right, yeah, exactly. Well, you know you've got your dad there with you because he talked about the photograph. So, you know, as we finish our conversation, pick it back up with him, Barbara. Have a word with your dad because he is with you. And, he's talking about your mum a minute. Right. Is your mum moaning a lot lately? Is she got sort of like aches and pains of her own that she's moaning about?
Yeah. She does.
Yeah. And of course, he's saying to you, he's saying, that's a lot, fat lot of help that is, isn't it? You know,
he's saying what?
He said, that's a fat lot of help to you, isn't it? So, you know, you could do without her moaning and groaning at the time like you've got to put up with. So,
yeah,
hey.
She's a strong woman.
Yeah. Don't forget now to have a listen to this in Mike's archives tomorrow, because there's so much that your dad said to you. And,
yes, thank you so much.
I wish you all the best with everything. I certainly shall pray for you. And I know others will. Okay.
I appreciate that. Thank you. God bless.
Yeah. Bye, Barbara. God bless to you, love.
All right.
Okay. I'm just going to remind you all now of the numbers to phone in. Outside the USA, it's 001. And then 760-283-4611. So I'm going to go on to my next caller now. Hello, is that Shuko? Or is it Anna? No, I missed you, have I? Right, okay, no problem. So, just to recap, 001 outside USA, 760-283-4611. Well, fantastic. I've really enjoyed those last two readings of you. There's lots have come out of what we've had to talk about here. I need to tell you just a minute that I went to Switzerland not so long ago, in June actually this year, and I had to address, it was a seminar for a group of mothers and fathers who'd all lost children, and when by lost I mean died, children who had died. So, well, you can imagine the responsibility that was, yeah? But I went, I asked Spirit if it was okay for me to go, and they said yes, so I went. And I met up with these mothers and fathers, about 15 in total. And it was amazing, because I didn't know whether the child that individual parents had lost was a girl or a boy. And I sat down with one mum, and the son came through, and he gave his name, which the mother accepted. But the message he gave her was phenomenal. He said, he was talking about his violin, and he said to me, tell my mum I know about the violin. So I repeated that to his mother, and I said, your son's here saying that he's talking about his violin, and you're giving it to someone, he said. And her reply was, yes, I am. We've decided that we would give it to an academy where children, sort of underprivileged children, go to play the violin but can't afford a violin. And then he said to me, tell her I know it's going to a little girl. So I repeated that to the mother, and she was taken aback, and she said, yeah, that's right, she said. We're going down next week to give it to a little girl that's joined the academy to play the violin. Wow, I thought, and gave the mother so much comfort, so much strength to know that not only has her son returned to speak to her, but knows what's going on in the lives of the parents and what they were doing with his belongings. Thought I'd just share that with you. It always moves me, that one. Right, I've got a caller. Jodie, are you there?
Yep.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, and where are you calling from, Jodie?
Michigan,
right.
Mm-hmm.
What's the weather like there?
It's cold and raining.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bit like Wales then, so we're on par with the weather. It's nice to know somebody else is sharing the cold and the rain. What can I do for you, Jodie? Is there something particular that you wanted?
Yeah, I just wanted to know if my mom and dad are around, or my mom,
yeah,
or my dad.
Your mum came through straight away. I didn't have dad, but I had the word mum straight away.
Okay.
We'll see if dad popped in. I can tell you for the fact that they're always around. No problem at all. You only have to mention their name, and they're around, because our words, our thoughts, go out into the ether and are picked up by those who we're thinking about. And it's a hopeful thing to say, isn't it? But good or bad words picked up as well. So we always have to remember to make them good, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Your mom, she's got a lovely personality, hasn't she? She likes to laugh.
Yep.
Yeah. I've got a lady who's smiling at you, smiling at that everybody. And you've got a brother as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, she talks about your brother. And you've got a sister?
Nope.
No sister? Is it sister-in-law? Because she talks to you about your brother, and then with your brother, the sister. Wasn't there a younger... did your mum have a miscarriage, Jodie?
Not that I know.
I feel as if she's got a child with her in spirit. Maybe it was for someone else's. But she's definitely got a child that didn't touch life here with her in the spirit world. Your mum is saying that there is an anniversary round about now, either just gone or just coming. That could be a birthday, a wedding, a christening, a funeral, you know, something that a date we remember. We call them anniversaries. Would you know what she's talking about?
My niece just got married about 2 weekends ago.
Right, yeah. And whose birthday is it not long away?
Not that I know of.
It's to do with a boy or a man. A birthday round a male person. Right. I've got a gentleman here by the name of Tom. Whether that would have been Thomas or Tommy, but Tom. And he's saying that he links on a gentleman. You've got a husband partner, Jodie?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and he links Tom, not Thomas, Tommy, links with him. It's more of a colleague, got a friend, you know, that kind of thing. Now then, let's go back to your mom here. Do your mom used to sew, make dresses, clothes?
No.
No? Was that your grandmother? Is it your mother's mother? Because I've got a lady here making a dress.
Can't remember.
You can't remember. Right.
Probably when I was little, maybe.
Yeah. Now, I'm being shown, obviously, I don't know what kind of houses or anything you live in Michigan, but, you know, I'm being shown that we used to have it here on television all the time, Waltons, with the rocking chair on outside the front. Would you understand where your grandparents were concerned, that kind of picture?
No.
Who would have the rocking chair outside of the front of the house? Because I'm seeing it. It goes back away. And there's not many houses around where this is. So I don't know where I am. Can you remember? You can remember apparently going to somebody's house like this, visiting?
Yeah, my grandma.
Yeah? That is your grandmother, is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because there's not much around. Your mum is telling me that she was ill before she died. Now, why I say that is because some people, Jodie, passed with a heart attack, so they're not ill, they just bump, gone, you know. But your mum was ill, wasn't she?
Yep.
Yeah, there was a deterioration in her body prior to passing. She's telling, oh, love her. She said to me, I wasn't well. So she didn't like being ill, did she? Whatever she had seemed to bother her, you know? It might have been unpleasant for her.
Right.
Now then. You've got some of her baking tins.
Would you understand? No, I don't.
Who has her baking tins?
Probably one of my sisters.
Right. One of your sisters.
Right.
Is that right? Is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah? Okay.
Yep.
And they're still being used, you see, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're still being used. She's really pleased about that. You put some flowers for her recently somewhere. You placed some flowers, or you bought some flowers with her in mind.
Not recently, no.
She's talking about flowers that you bought with her in mind. Some people will buy flowers, look at them and think, oh, my mother liked these, and put them in the vase in the house.
Probably lilacs when I got them a year or two ago. She likes lilacs. She likes lilacs.
Violets?
She likes lilacs.
Right. She's talking about flowers that were bought for her. Bought with her in mind. Now then, you've been quite miserable without her, haven't you?
Mhm.
You think about her on a daily basis.
Yeah.
She's asking you to be strong. She's saying that she is so close to you, but you can't feel her, can you?
No.
You feel empty without her.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Your dad passed in a completely different way to you, ma'am, didn't he? Different condition. Yeah. He's just saying that he went very quietly. Slipped away, your dad did.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas your mother sort of lingered for a while. Now, they're here together, holding hands. And I just feel as if you'd like to be able to go in between them and take a hand each, as you did when you were a little girl.
Right.
Yeah. You used to go to Sunday school, didn't you?
Probably when I was little, yeah.
To church, yeah. Because, you know, I see you with this holding hands, it's as if they're taking you to church, you know, or you're being led there. Now, your mum is saying to me, talk about the ball. When you were little, you used to play with a ball a lot?
Yeah.
In the yard there, yeah? Talk about the ball, and you'd be giggling and laughing. And your mum is asking you to be that person again, to have the giggles and the laugh, which you feel is missing out of your life at the moment.
Hmm.
It's almost as if when your mum and dad left you, they took a part of you with them. And they're bringing back these memories now for you to be able to smile a little bit, for you to be able to get on with your life. And can you please make your mum some pancakes?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does she like those? Is there something between you about that?
I guess.
She's saying, please, can I have some pancakes? Aww. All right. Oh, Jodie, I hope that helped you at this moment. They're so close to you. The love is tremendous. They're, as I said earlier, you can't break love. There are no barriers for love either. So, you know, you hang in there with your mum and dad's memories because that's what they want you to hold on to at the moment, just to bring that smile back on your face. And remember, okay, your dad's still as protective as ever.
Okay.
Well, it's been nice talking to you, Jodie. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Yep.
Okay, we're going to just take a little break for a moment, and I'll be back just after this.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you and I. 'Cause I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here when
Hi, and welcome back. So the number to call, 760-283-4611. And of course, if you're outside the USA, put 001 before that. Well, I think we have Shuku on the line. Hi, Shuku, how are you?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, great, thanks. Are you enjoying the show?
Please
say
yes.
The show. Are you missing Mike? I bet everybody's missing Mike. I bet they're saying, what's this woman doing rabbiting on? Where's Mike Davis?
Oh, well, whoever has the gift, you know, anyone's welcome on the show.
I'll remind him of that when I see him. What can I do for you, Shuku?
Basically, recently I've been trying to do a lot of spiritual work. I've been really wanting to connect with my spirit guides and guardian angels around me.
Right.
I was just wondering, like, if you can pick up from any of my, you know, spirit guides that are with you now, if I'm going to see them, if, like, this is really something I want to do, or if they give you any messages on my relationship or my love life, career.
Right, okay. Okay, well, let's deal with your guides first, yeah? Your first question. When we're born, we're all born with a doorkeeper, yeah? You agree?
Yeah.
Guardian angel. And that spirit guide, he takes care of us. He keeps us from harm. Even though we get up to harm sometimes through our own fault, they try to maneuver us and guide us in the right direction. Never taking away our free will. That's ours forever. As you progress, Shuko, you get more and more guides that will attach themselves to you for different reasons. Say, for instance, you were interested in healing. Then you would get doctors who have gone into the spirit world, scientists, physicians. They would all attach themselves to you, trainee doctors, nurses, nuns, to help you with the healing process. Mm-hmm. So you could have as many as, you know, 15, 20, 30, 100 we help you with healing. And mm-hmm. and then there's, if ever you go into teaching of any kind at all, you'll attract people who can help you with that. So depending on what teaching it was, you'd get the philosophers of years gone by to help you with that. And then when it comes to your own spiritual growth, your spiritual development, I always think that's amazing, because you get novices from the spirit world, as well as being a novice yourself. You get novices from the spirit world who will jump on the opportunity to serve, because all our guides come from the higher realms of spirit world down to this physical vibration on a mission, and the mission is to help us, for us to help others. And I've been told that your spiritual development involves helping others. You want to be able to help people like yourself, really. Well, depending now on which course that takes you, the helping others course, you will be attracted, the guides will be attracted to you for that job. So it's very much like the tools of the trade. You get the tools from the spirit world to help you with the trade in the physical world. I will tell you that there is a very mischievous guide around you, quite funny, quite light-hearted, happy, wears bright clothes, very much a giggler. He's it's a boy, and he's around about the age of 13, 14. That would be the age when he passed. But he's been in the spirit world for a very, very, very long time. Comes from a very hot country, he's telling me. I feel as if we're in, where are we? Where's he making me feel? You know, I'm like Egypt, Turkey, that kind of hot country.
Mm-hmm.
But he wears very bright clothes, and he loves to laugh. So sometimes you must find that you get the giggles, and you've don't know why. You know, sometimes you must think, some days, I seem to laugh at everything today. And he's there, and when you get that, that's when you know that he's with you.
Am I able to see my guides?
Do you do meditation, Shuko?
I do meditation. I also do meditation to open up my chakras. Like, I just visualize them with my mind's eye expanding, and I close them, and I open them, I close them. I do some exercises for clairvoyant, clairaudient, claircognizant, like all these exercises I do. I raise my vibration, I do that, I do so much. But even though, like, when I do the meditation to open up my chakras, it's maybe like 40 minutes, I open my eyes, I'm like thinking, hoping that they're there and I can see them, and I can't see them. So
okay, yeah, well, what you have to remember is to see physical phenomena, you have to have a physical medium to be able to produce the necessary ectoplasm for them to appear through as physical form. What you will see is in your third eye. It's a bit like holding a photograph up. Do you remember the negatives of a photograph? Are you old enough to remember negatives?
What is that?
Yeah, I thought you sounded too young for that. Right, let me put it a different way. X-ray. There we are. You know when you see people put an X-ray up against the light?
Yeah.
To see the form, well, that's very much like what you will start to see in your meditation. Now, 40 minutes is a very long time to meditate. I couldn't meditate for 40 minutes myself. I'd either fall asleep or I'd lose interest. But I consider 15 to 20 minutes to contact your guides plenty of time. You need to meditate to some form of music. so that it's a guided tour. You need to perhaps take yourself, you know, if you can imagine this, Shuku, right? We're sitting with our eyes closed. We're in a very comfortable situation. The music is playing lightly in the background there. And you say to yourself that you're going through a gate, a big, big wooden gate. The gate is locked initially.
Okay.
And you have the key. You open the gate with the key. You walk the other side, close the gate and lock it. This is your protection. You've locked the gate against anyone else who can come in there. So this makes you safe, because I've just been told that you wonder about that as well, don't you?
Yeah, it's just
you wonder about being safe, yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, don't want to see anything scary at all.
That's right. This is what they're saying to me now. He said she wonders about the safety aspect of it all. Well, by doing that, by opening the gate with the key and locking the gate with the key, you're in control, aren't you?
Yeah.
So subconsciously, now you've got control of the situation. And then I would say to you, if you just want to close your eyes a moment, I'd say to you, right, I need you to walk just up a little grass pathway which has a slight incline, and you come to a field where there are buttercups and dandelions all growing in this field, a pasture which is, the grass is so rich, the air is warm, the sky is blue, it's a beautiful summer's evening. And as you stand now and in this pasture, you see in front of you a very, very large tree. And underneath that tree is a bench, a seat. So take yourself to that seat, and then soon you will be joined by an energy. That energy can reveal itself, its character, and its identity. And then you see, Shuku, you sit and you talk to these people and let them introduce themselves to you.
But I feel like because my third eye is not open yet, I mean, if I visualize it with my mind's eye, is that what you're talking about, to visualize
yes.
it with my mind's eye?
Yes.
Okay, because when I do that, I feel like I'm maybe making something up.
Yeah, I know. You see, that's good. That's a good point. Because, you see, mediumship, clairvoyance, clairaudience, clairsentience is very subtle, and it's very much like the imagination. What you have to do is to get a pen and paper and jot down what you've just seen, heard, and what's been said. It's very important. Keep a log of it. And then every time you do your meditation, keep a log every time. Say, for instance, you get an energy that sits next to you on that bench, and you might not see them as physical people, but you get the impression this is a man, or you'll get the impression this is an Indian, you know, or, I don't know, a monk, a king, whatever. You'll be impressed, because the way that spirit works is a mind-to-mind communication. So they have to impress upon your mind the images of themselves. I mean, we don't have physical bodies when we die, do we? But we do have our mind. Our mind continues with us. It's living. And so these people will project the image that they want you to see on your mind. And that's why it's so subtle. That's why people say, oh, am I making this up? And I say, no, just say what you can see. So you write it down, because you meditate on your own, you see, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's always a problem then, because you don't share the experience with anyone when you come back. And then if you were able to share that, maybe the other person that you were sitting with would say to you, hey, I saw that as well. So, you know, make this a personal journey, and let them come and sit next to you, have this conversation. Now then, the important thing is that when you've finished with that, after 20 minutes tops, open your eyes, come back through the field, the meadow, and come back to your gate. Use your key to open the gate and lock it behind you.
Okay.
And that then, you see, is your security, that is your protection. There is no harm that comes to anyone in a meditation or whatever, but we all need protection. So Does that make sense to you there, Shuku?
Yeah, it is. Thank you so much. Do they say anything about me doing this as a career as well?
Your mediumship? It's open to everyone, isn't it, Shuku? It really is open to everyone. Everybody is a psychic. Everyone. Psychic means that you can pick up the energies of the person next to you, whether they're ill or, you know, you must have gone somewhere and you bounced into a room happy, shining, laughing. And then all of a sudden you sat next to someone and thought, what on earth happened to me? Why do I feel all of a sudden so miserable? Well, you're picking up the psychic energies. Now, when you get used to understanding what psychic means, you move on. You move on to the finer vibrations of life, which are called the spirit energies. And this is where we connect and communicate. So you develop what sensitivities you have, and you can develop all five, clairaudience, clairsentience, clairvoyance, clairgustance, all of them. But sometimes people only develop one or two. They sort of concentrate on that. I know one of your attributes is healing, that you're capable of healing people.
Okay. Is that going to come like later on? Am I going to learn that?
I think that you'll find that it comes natural. Do you know, spirit world are very, very clever. They send us people for goodness knows what reason we think. All of a sudden, you'll be with someone, they say, I'm not very well. And then you have this inclination, you'll think, let me just put my hand on your shoulder. You don't even have to touch, you don't even have to tell them. And you're able to give enough healing for them to feel better. And they'll say to you, do you know, since I've been talking to you, I feel so much better. But everybody
is
able...
Yeah, people tell me that.
There
we
are, you see.
That was problems.
Yeah, so there we are. You're already working as a medium. You're already helping souls out there because each one of us is a soul which is developing in this physical life. So you're already working to develop your other senses, the clairsentience and clairvoyance. That is probably, you're doing that as well. I've been told that with your third eye, with your other senses, you are seeing people. But you're not quite sure how you're seeing them. So just remember that X-ray being held up to the light, and that's how you will see them.
I
now
feel
then,
like sometimes I see, like, from the corner of my eyes. I know I'm clairvoyant, but I don't think my third eye is fully developed. I haven't seen something and thought, oh, my God, that's a spirit. I haven't really, I've never had that before. But I feel like I see stuff from the corner of my eyes.
Hey, just remember, promise me something. Don't make your mediumship difficult. It's the most easiest thing in the world to do. Don't complicate it. Accept it. Write it down, and you'll be amazed. If you're with someone and you sense something, and you have the opportunity to say to them, do you know, since I've been sitting here with you, I'm very aware of a grandmother, tell them, and you'll probably be amazed. They'll say, my God, I was only thinking of her this morning. You know, see
yeah,
it.
I have that.
There we are. So already we've got a healer and we've got a clairvoyant. So you are developing, obviously. You're not able to sort of have sympathetic people that you can give what we call a reading to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't done any reading.
Well, what I suggest is you get a friend... and ask them to sit with you, explain what you're going to do, and see what comes through, see what names you get, see what personalities you get, see what conditions you get, and watch their faces, and you'll be amazed, you really will.
Okay, and the more I work on my clairvoyance, I can end up seeing spirits, right?
Yeah. But okay. Try the meditation that I suggested to you, because, you know, for 40 minutes... they're telling me that you're coming back without really having done anything, you know?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a disappointment. So 40 minutes, it might be too long. But try and get a tape that lasts 20 minutes tops. Just record something on a CD or something for 20 minutes. And when it stops, then you come back down the same pathway through the same gate and open and close the gate, yeah?
Okay. Can I ask one more quick, very quick question? I know we're running out of time.
Yeah.
Anything you get from a relationship or love?
Your relationship. Okay, quickly, let's have a look what they got to say. Oh, what a tangled web we weave, eh?
Right.
it's been difficult, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's lots of emotional upset that's been around your relationship. But you've decided to try and give it the last shot, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's done with now, but it's done with now. I feel like it might come back, I don't know.
Yeah, it's, you see, you didn't want to have this breakup, did you?
No, not at all.
No, and there was a time when you thought, I'll give this one more try, one last shot.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, love you. You are a creature of habit, aren't you? You miss their presence, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. You miss the familiarity of things that go with living with someone, you know?
Yeah.
Times they come in from work, times they go out, etc.
Yeah.
Okay. Now then. Right. For whatever reason it was, Shuku, it's not coming back. That relationship is not going to come back.
Okay.
But it's, as it, they say in 3 months. So has it been 3 months since the breakup?
Well, it's been on and off, maybe a month and a half, 2 months or something.
Right, but they talk about 3 months, so I don't know whether over the 3 months things started to go too wrong there.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Right, I'm going to have to wind this up, Shuku, but...
Okay, no problem.
You know, you keep smiling. Light is at the end of the tunnel. It's a funny old cliche that I know, but it really is there for you. You make your life what you want it to be and be strong. You're a very strong person.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Shuku. And, hey, listen, thanks. Good luck with your development.
Thank you.
As I say, listen to Mike's archives and try and get that meditation down to a fine art so you're comfortable with it, yeah?
Okay.
All right.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, you take care, and I'm sure we'll speak again.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Hey, all right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming close to closing, I'm sure. But I've enjoyed myself, and next week you'll have Mike back telling you all about his nights demonstrating, and we wish him well. And from me, Margaret Challenger, I'll say good night and God bless you all. Bye.
About how many times I had fallen. you see the Southern Cross for the first time. You understand now why you came this way. 'Cause the truth you might be running from is so small, but it's as big as the promise. Promise of a coming day. So I'm sailing for tomorrow. My dreams are a-dying, and my love is an anchor tied to you,
tied with a silver chain.
I have my ship, and all the flags are a-flying. She is all that I have left,
and music is her name.
Think about
how many times I have fallen. Spirits are using me, Lord, your voice is calling. What heaven brought you and me cannot be forgotten.
Southern Cross.